This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, we finally meet the Death Soarer. Turns out, it's a bit of a dick. Hey everyone, welcome to Hyperspace Broadcast, a show where two real friends dig through Toonami's back catalog and try to determine what's worth revisiting, if anything. I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we are continuing our coverage of Zoid's Chaotic Century with episodes 26 through 34. Specifically, we are closing out the first chapter of Zoid's Chaotic Century. Basically, there are two seasons of this show. We have finished the first season, and we will cover the second season at some point in the future, but not soon, probably.
Yeah. And we need to give our Zoids some time to rest.
Yeah, awkwardly stand in on a big trailer.
Yeah.
While it's being driven around.
These certainly alive things that just stand still when they're not being piloted and do nothing.
You know, here's the thing about that, which is, like, I mean, it makes them seem much less alive when they're just completely inert on the back of a trailer. But also, like, nothing is transported like that in reality.
Like, yeah.
Like, imagine if you were transporting a statue from one place to another, and instead of laying it down on the trailer, you just fucking, like, tied it standing up. That's not
how
it works.
Not even tying it. Like,
yeah, you just place it on the trailer. It's like, this is probably fine.
I got four legs. Yeah, it's like, that's like if you're like, okay, I gotta move this dining room table across town. Oh, it's got four legs. Just
yeah, I'll just
sit it on there.
Yeah, I'll just stick it on a trailer and that'll be fine. It won't fall off, certainly.
Nothing will topple over. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get into the synopsis. Where we left off, Prozen, our big bad, his assassins had managed to get the signet ring from Prince Rudolph, who's the rightful heir to the throne of the Empire, but they left him alive. Also, Van, our hero's shield liger, was transformed into a blade liger with the help of Zeke and Fiona, who merged with each other and then merged with the damaged Zoid and made a big cocoon out of it and evolved it. Courtesy of it battling, which Dr. D says, and it's like, all right, I guess this is just fucking Pokemon.
Yeah, right.
Is this a common occurrence? Because it seemed pretty fantastical when it happened, but then afterwards, everyone's like, yeah, okay, I guess.
And it never has occurred before or after that, nor was it ever referenced before or after that.
Yeah, like, sure.
No one's Zoids. You know, I thought everyone would have a Zoid evolution, and we'd get, like, you know, a cool or new Command Wolf.
Nope, fuck that.
No.
Totally different. So, the adventure continues as Van and the gang try to get Rudolph to the Empire's capital city of Gygalos in order to prove that he's still alive and expose Prozen. Unfortunately for them, it's been announced that Rudolph is dead, and it's been printed in the newspapers, so nobody believes that it's actually him in the first town that they visit, which is ridiculous in many ways, but... Like, I don't know. I have a hard time.
They print an image in the paper, and, like, still, everyone's just like, who's this brat? Whatever.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, in fairness, when he's like, I'm Prince Rudolph, they're like, you don't look anything like him, which is, like, kind of a joke. And I don't know. I guess there is that weird, like, aspect of seeing, like, a celebrity, for example. They might not necessarily look how you expect them to, but... It's weird. I mean, I can't imagine, like, seeing the president, current or any past president, just on the street and being like, that's not really the president. Like, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if it's, like, just been in the news that they, like, disappeared or died.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, or it could just be...
Like, everyone's thinking on that. You're gonna look at someone and be like, yeah, okay, that's... weird.
Yeah,
why is that person identical?
It would also be weird if they claimed to clearly be the person, like, because in fairness, you know, I mean, I guess, oh, there's, like, imitators of the, you know, like, the thing that my mind keeps jumping to is that weird Sylvester Stallone impersonator that I saw in Philadelphia, who was like sitting by the Rocky statue and angrily shouting at someone on the phone while eating a cheesesteak.
Yeah, just there to get pictures of people.
Except the
Rocky scene.
Yeah, except the least approachable person I've ever seen, like, because he's clearly just pissed off and like ripping a sandwich apart with his jaws.
That's awesome.
But anyway, like, so yeah, I guess there could be lookalikes that would try to claim to be the guy.
He didn't have the Sylvester Stallone signet ring, so yes. No one could tell if it was him or not, and they didn't really want to approach.
The Stallone family signet ring that only Sylvester Stallone has, and it's impossible to make a fake of, probably.
Yeah,
so whatever. It doesn't make a ton of sense, but basically, because they barge into town and they're like, hey, this is Rudolph, everybody, and nobody believes them, the Imperial Army is kind of on the lookout for a potential imitator. Also, Fiona reveals to Dr. D that she's actually an ancient Zoidian, and that merging with Zeke has kind of reclaimed some of her memories that were lost before. Although, they decide to keep it between them for the time being, for some reason.
For some reason.
It doesn't...
Because it's more dramatic when you do that.
Yeah, right. They're like, hold on.
This reveal is going to be fucking great if we wait until like the last possible
minute. Until something else dramatic is happening, and then you're like, I'm not Fiona, bitch. I'm this person.
Yeah, Alicia or whatever.
Yeah, I can't remember her real name. But anyway, so while all this is happening, Raven's off just killing Zoids and collecting their Zoid cores, which I guess Prozen is just like dumping into the big tank that the Death Soarer is in.
Yeah.
As food or something. Who knows? So we get several episodes of just sort of random adventure on their way to the Capitol. And for the sake of completeness, I'm just going to outline what those episodes are about. There's an episode where they come across a village where all the children have this fever, and the Imperial Army is hoarding the vaccine for the fever, and Irvine gets involved because apparently his sister died of this fever when they were both kids, so he has a personal stake in it. There's an episode where Rosso and Viola make a reappearance. Apparently they didn't die, and they're given new Republic Zoids called Storm Sorters. Now, here's another question. I guess, like, genetic manipulation in some kind, but how is there a new Zoid exactly if they're naturally occurring?
That's a good point.
Whatever.
I guess maybe they just evolved the shit out of a Rattler until it became something cool.
Yeah, right. So, Rosso, they're both wearing cool helmets that totally mask their identities.
Yeah.
And Rosso takes on the ridiculous name Arabalone, which just sounds like Arabalone to me, and reminds me of
Arabalone.
Yeah, reminds me of terrible lunch meat sandwiches.
Yeah, it's
and
like a food fight. Yeah.
So anyway, they help Van fight off a bunch of new improved Redlers. There's an episode where Moonbay reunites with an old boyfriend named McMahon, who hides them from Imperial forces and then helps them fight Imperial forces off with like an army of Zoids that he owns that all have gold-plated guns, and they just blow the shit out of the Imperial Zoids that are attacking them. And then Moonbay decides that she and he cannot be together because she doesn't appreciate his classical music tastes and prefers her own brand of weird, off-key stream-of-consciousness singing.
Yeah.
Which we get several more tastes of in this block. And then the last one is an episode where a bunch of old Imperial Zoid pilots are called in to take down Van, and then he and Irvine end up beating them in like an old battle arena where there's a big crowd watching them, and everyone's super delighted about it. So I guess that's foreshadowing to, I guess, New Century Zero? Like, I'm not even sure.
Yeah, right.
You know, one of the things that's interesting, actually, is watching all of this, I was like, I think I may have watched this show, actually. Like, I thought I didn't. I think I may have seen Guardian Force and mistaken it for New Century Zero. But I guess we'll get into that when we get to Guardian Force.
And you know, I really thought those old Zoid pilot trio were going to come back. This like elderly,
yeah,
throuple,
right.
That
it's kind of weird that they don't.
They seem like they're really introduced and they're all kind of distinct, and they got like these really,
yeah, they have
cool like decorated silver and gold
saber fangs. Yeah,
yeah,
saber fang, not saber fang, Peter. Come
whatever.
On,
whatever.
yeah, so we have all these sort of largely, you know, not tying into the main plot episodes, except that people are trying to kill Van and Rudolph, and we learn that the conspiracy to kill Rudolph is apparently pretty far reaching. Like, Prozen has henchmen everywhere, including two new characters whose names I don't recall, but they're notable and simpatico because they both have really stupid haircuts. One of them is a woman who's like a lieutenant in the army who has extremely uneven bangs in a way that looks really awkward.
It's so weird. Like, yeah.
And
it really just looks like she cuts her own hair.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really fucked up.
And like,
and
I guess,
seen a mirror.
Yeah, exactly. Cuts her own hair, like, does it in some kind of tilted chair, and definitely does not have a mirror for reference. Or maybe
imagine,
it's
like
a funhouse mirror. I don't know.
Yeah, or like the most impossible, like, 90s... like, it's kind of like a bad 90s punk design for a movie.
Oh,
where it's like,
shit,
we need
right.
to have these extra
yeah.
punk characters. Let's have this girl who just fucks up her bangs.
Yeah, so
completely just
so,
one is
yes.
all the way off the other.
So there's this woman, and then there's a guy who has short hair, but he has a ponytail that just comes out of the side of his head.
Yeah, like a really long one too.
Which is very strange. And now that I think about it, I guess like that's the defining feature of Prozen's henchmen, is they all have stupid haircuts, because his assassins had really stupid haircuts too.
Stupid haircuts, and they're stubborn to the point of just dying when they could easily retreat.
Yeah, right. God, if there's one thing I love in like anime, and to be fair, this is not an anime only trope, but I feel like it turns up in this show a lot, is characters who refuse to retreat because it's cowardly, even though they're about to die.
If it's absolutely certain death, and they could survive and be more tactically helpful
by
retreating.
Yeah, it's like the most ineffective soldiers possible.
I'm going to stand against this fucking volcano.
Yeah, right. Like, what are you doing? No one would do that.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, there's some other conspirators, but eventually Van and his gang of dudes and Moonbae and Fiona, so really not all dudes at all, meet up with the Prime Minister of the Empire, who also has a goofy name. Who recognizes Rudolph.
Pumalef, right? Or Humalef?
Something Fumalef? Like that.
Something really dumb.
I feel bad that I don't remember these characters' names, but they're all goofy, and they all, like, barely appear before, like, three episodes to the end of the show.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. But he recognizes Rudolph and forms a plan to get him to the capital during the coronation, because he already had some problems with Prozen that were brought up way earlier, like last block, when Prozen announced that Rudolph was missing, and so he was taking control of the throne temporarily. This is all interrupted by Van and Fiona finding out that there's this Imperial research site that's under strict, like, top secret military control, and they think it might have something to do with Zoid Eve, remember that? So they go to it, and Prozen is there, and he confronts them with some real garbage about, like, there's no difference between you and me because you also have hurt people in the pursuit of your goals. It's like, well, that's not really comparable, dude. Like, you're intentionally causing wars for no fucking reason. Like, come on.
Yeah. And then Fiona's like, you know what? I got to get out of the cockpit for this for some reason. And she gets out right. And it's like, I am an ancient Zoidian, and my real name, I think, is like Elysia or something. She says it once ever.
Yeah,
so
right. Exactly.
I'm not
That's another thing
on,
that, yeah, it's like,
remembering.
All right, well, yeah, she says it once. She's never referred to it again. Everyone just keeps calling her Fiona, so whatever.
And, you know, her presence as an ancient Zoidian is causing the Death Soarer to wake up, and Death Soarer is a Gigantor fucking Godzilla mech that is like
that's actually
kind of
cool, unlike the Gojulas, the other Godzilla mech.
so huge it can completely stomp a full-size Zoid and crush it. Like,
right, and its fucking laser is so powerful that it can just blow up fully shielded Shield Ligers. Like,
yeah, right.
It's extremely super powerful.
As it does several times.
Yeah, dude, you gotta show it off. To be honest, although we do see that basic thing happen a bunch, I don't feel like it's stock footage. It's like new shots of them getting blown up at least a couple of times.
I don't know about that, man. Right, it's usually just like a white flash and then it's just lava. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's true. Courtesy of
same thing.
Air this travel, uses... I was extremely tired when we were watching these last couple episodes. So
yeah, we really had to make the push on that last one.
I was spacing out a little bit, probably. But yeah, so the Death Sores awaken and Fiona's like, don't do this because it'll destroy everything.
Yeah.
In all of this chaos, Raven shows up for his final showdown with Van and Zeke. And they have actually a kind of cool final fight that lasts about an episode. It's a real drag-out fight, but eventually Van wins, of course, by shoving his Blade Liger's blade into the mouth of the Genosaur while it's shooting a laser, and it, like, blows up.
Right.
But he's fine.
Poor Raven, though. I wish Raven would be back and have that same shitty voice, even though we're going to have a time skip.
Yeah, right. I mean, here's the thing.
It's only two years. He'll be, like, 16.
Yeah, right. I think you mean 19 because they age them up pointlessly to ages they clearly aren't. But who knows? I mean, Russo and Viola came back after exploding off screen. So, like, maybe Raven's not dead. I don't know. We're operating
on... Oh, no, he's not dead. He's definitely not dead because he fucking... The second he blows up, you see the Shadow grab him.
Oh, yeah, right, right. Shadow flies away. Yeah, so he's fine. All right,
that,
cool.
That little annoying brat's coming back, and I can't be happier.
Fucking awesome. Can't wait. So, you know, we're...
Game over.
Oh, God, he's so amazing. So we're pretty much at the end here. Everyone tries to get Rudolph to the Capitol. The Republic Army shows up to help. Prozen has awakened the Death Sword during his coronation and just starts, like, blowing everything up because the Death Sword is insane. And Fiona says that Prozen has been possessed by the destructive instinct of the Death Sword, which doesn't really make sense, but whatever. It's a good way to explain why he went from, like, a Machiavellian schemer to literally just shouting about how he's all-powerful while standing on the Death Sword's shoulder. Of course, the only way to kill the Death Sorer is to have everyone cooperate and then for Van to actually destroy it with the Blade Liger's blades, because, you know, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Also in this, it's revealed, like, there's two things that happen in this that are both seem completely pointless and inconsequential, but they do happen. One is that Prozen says that he's actually the one who killed Van's dad after Van's father found Shadow originally. So, okay, I guess.
That's weird. Yeah. They didn't even know at this point that his dad had been killed. Like, I just figured he died.
Yeah, I feel like it's clear that he's killed early on in the show, but we haven't even mentioned it for, like, fucking, what, like, 33 episodes?
Every episode, I mean, yeah.
This has not really been a big motivator for Van, so it's really weird to just have it come up at the end here. And also, Irvine gets to pilot a Gojalis, which you may remember that was a thing in one episode a while ago, and
forgot that got
that's
tied up.
Resolved,
yeah.
I guess, so good. You know,
it does
whatever.
Nothing. He pounds a Gojalis whose head gets cut off, but he, like, tries to, I don't know, stop its
he doesn't do shit, but the Death Sword just cuts off the head. It's whatever. But he got to pilot a Gojalis, so super cool. Good work, Irvine.
Yeah.
So now that everything's resolved, you know, with Prozen defeated, Rudolph is coronated. But Van and Fiona and Zeke are not there because they've left to go off on another adventure. And we have a preview of the next season where Irvine and Moonbay question whether or not they're still in the show, and a bit of fourth wall breaking that's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that is Zoid's Chaotic Century. That is the first season. Who knows what happens in Guardians Force? We will not for a while. Also, it's Guardian Force. I don't know why I said it like that. But we should move on. What was your favorite episode of this block, Peter?
My favorite episode was episode 33. This was the episode with the final battle between Van and Raven. I enjoyed this episode. This is probably like one of the, I think, two times in the entire series that I enjoyed this show's combat.
Yeah.
Combat,
yeah.
I don't think is really the strength of this show.
I mean, I don't know, because most fights do just have Zoids bouncing off each other like bumper cars or jumping up in the air. So that's pretty awesome.
It's bump and jump combat. And what it is you're either bumping into, they jump towards each other and bounce off and like, well, that hurt, I guess.
Yeah. And it looks very awkward pretty much always.
People fire their guns, but it's just for show. There's unlike Sharzaku, those guns are
you
just
mean
for show.
Unlike New Gundam, but yes, the guns never seem to do anything. It's
and
just jumping
also,
at each other.
The only tactic is to jump extremely high up in the air, so high that you surprise your opponent who can't see you anymore and don't
because
think to
you're
look
so
up
high
until the
in
last
the
minute. Yeah, and then they look up and they get pounced on. That's Zoid's combat. This episode changes that a little bit by like actually having Van think tactically, which I thought was nice.
Yeah, right. There's a bit where like the Genosaur can't fire its main gun without like locking its legs into position.
Yeah, and he kind of realizes that he can't like turn when he's firing his main cannon.
Yeah, right,
too.
Because it has to absorb the recoil. So he, you know, there's a scene where he's like running past and Raven's trying to track him with the cannon, then it ends up fucking up the legs of the Genosaur. So he's like, yeah, no, it's a cool fight. I really liked
it. And there's, I think the conclusion of the fight is kind of stupid. It's like the most typical shonen shit where Van is beaten pretty much. He's going to lose.
Completely.
He's about to get blasted and killed. And on the verge of losing, he thinks of all the people who depend on him, and they're all telling him, like, come on, man, get back up. And then, of course, he gets magically motivated and comes back with a new ultimate power that makes his blade all sparkly. Also because Fiona and Zeke fuse together and join him.
And Fiona, as, like, a ghost, appears to him and gives him a little pep talk, and then, like, ghost kisses him.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that kiss.
And his shield liger, or rather blade liger, like, heals completely, apparently courtesy of Zeke and Fiona's, you know, god mode powers.
It's kind of interesting,
so he can
too,
actually
that Van,
fight back.
Van has like no reaction to that kiss.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
You'd expect like a blush or something. He's just like, okay.
yeah, and like, it's never just referred like, to again.
It just seems like she could have just came in and just talked to him and been like, I'm giving you my power, and touch his head or something. Like, that's what it's like. It's like, it really just seems like a transfer of spiritual power.
Yeah,
and not
right,
like
pretty
anything
much.
Else. But in any case, this gives him the magic power to heal all of a sudden and then like be able to deflect the laser blast and shove a sword into the mouth of Raven.
Yeah, to be fair, he could deflect the laser blast with the sword already. But this is the point where he realizes like how he can actually use it.
Well, and his shield couldn't do it. His shield couldn't hold back the blast, but now it can for some reason because, you know, emotional strength, I guess.
Yeah, right. You know, anime stuff.
Yeah. I also like that there's a sense of urgency in this episode because everyone else is like completely surrounded back at the palace and, you know, they're about to get pretty much fucking killed by the Imperial Army, and Van is, it's like this sense of urgency that Van has to get back there and save them. Mm-hmm. And so at one point when Raven is challenging him, Van's like, you know what? No. And he just like runs
just
off.
Leaves.
Which I thought was great. Cause that was like the first thing that occurred to me was like, oh, you should just leave. Cause like, there's no reason to fight him.
Yeah.
And he does and explains it. But then Raven is like, no, fuck you. And like blows up a bunch of his own men to like block.
block
the Liger in and force him into a battle.
Yeah.
This is a fun episode.
No. And that's a nice thing too, because that's Van demonstrating the, thought that nobody else in this show seems to demonstrate of you can't actually retreat from a battle without, you know, just getting yourself killed like an idiot. But yeah, I like that episode too. Personally, my favorite was episode 27. I think this is mostly just my favorite for one particular comedy thing that happens. But
yeah,
but basically this is an episode where everyone's trying to like get into a city and, you know, there's like border guards or whatever. So they split up and Fiona and Moonbae go in pretending that Moonbae is getting married and the Zoids that she's transporting are her dowry. And meanwhile, Irvine, Van, and Rudolph try to sneak in on foot. They get captured by the Imperial Army, but then the guy who, like, Van rescued that was an Imperial soldier way back in Last Block. I don't know. There was an episode Last Block. It was episode 16, I believe, yeah. Where there was this Imperial soldier who's being chased by a mob, and Van helped him out. And then the soldier like stole a command wolf and, you know, panicked and blew up a bunch of New Helix City, and Van had to stop him. And at the end of the episode, the guy leaves, and he reappears here and returns the favor and helps Van and Irvine escape.
Yeah.
And I liked to see that character return, honestly. Yeah, like, it's not like he's a major character, but it is kind of nice to see that followed up on, you know.
And it made sense. It wasn't like too like stupid or cheesy of a
yeah, right,
of
it wasn't like, say, Irvine piloting the Gojulis, yeah, where it's like, did we really need to follow this up? Like, it feels organic and it feels,
and in fact,
you know,
when Van sent off the guy in the episode Last Block, like at the end, and let him go, I really didn't expect him to come back.
Oh, no, not at all.
So that's what I like about this, is like, oh, this is actually, yeah, unexpected. Right. Whereas, like, it seems so telegraphed that, yeah, he will pilot the Gojulis, but then, like,
true,
now,
yes.
And then at the point where he does pilot the Gojulis is so fucking irrelevant. Like,
right. Well, yeah, there's a lot to unpack about why Irvine piloting the Gojulis at the end is pointless.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But, yes, that's part of it. But I agree. I like the return of that soldier. There's a kind of cool scene where they're being chased by a bunch of tiny versions of the like caterpillar Zoids, and I really dislike the caterpillar Zoids at their usual size, but the tiny ones are actually kind of neat.
Yeah.
It also suggests to me that they're like babies, or, you know, whatever the equivalent is for Zoids.
Yeah, right.
Which is, you know, another thing that points that Zoids aren't just vehicles, which I like seeing. So it's kind of minor, but I did appreciate them being chased by a bunch of baby caterpillars. Also, there's a scene where Irvine is shooting at, yeah, them with a machine gun, and it runs out of ammo, and he's just like, what? As though he doesn't understand that can happen.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's what a great reaction to running out of ammo.
What? Which is hilarious. But the main thing that made this episode for me is that Moonbae and Fiona's, you know, entrance plan of pretending that Moonbae is getting married. Apparently Fiona was given one line,
yeah,
to say to people, which is, my sister's getting married today. And she just says this like three different times in response to different questions with different intonations.
Yeah,
and
it's so funny.
Apparently I'm a sucker for that kind of humor, because I laughed at it when it was the rap unit. And I laughed at it this time too.
Oh, it, like, got to me, dude. That was great. Like,
like, it's genuinely funny to think that she just has no improvisation whatsoever to just say the same thing over and over, and no one really questions it.
Oh man, yeah, that was a
even
great
though
gag.
It's nonsense.
Yeah.
So what was your least favorite episode of this block?
My least favorite episode is episode 34, the final episode. This episode, I don't hate the ending necessarily, but like,
uh-huh,
I think it's got some glaringly stupid problems, some of which we've brought,
sure,
up. Like, for one, so it all comes down to this big fight against the Death Soar, and it's being commanded by Prozen on the shoulder, or is it commanding Prozen? Ooh. But
yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem to be commanded at all. It just seems to be acting on instinct.
I don't know.
But
I think, like, he's telling it to shoot its laser, and it shoots its laser.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he seems to be ordering it. So, like, what bothers me is, like, why not just Like, he's just standing on there. No one can figure out how to make a dent in the armor of the Death Star. Like, oh, how do we damage this thing? What? He's standing on his shoulder. Just shoot him. Shoot Prozen.
Yeah, Prozen's just hanging out. He's not in a cockpit. Also, no. The Death Star is moving around quite a bit for him to just be standing
He
on
is
it.
Like giant robo standing on the shoulder, like classic
giant
robot
much.
Shit. But why not just shoot
Which
him off?
Is fine, except that it feels wrong in this show.
In this show,
like, this show doesn't treat stuff like that generally, so it's really bizarre to just have him standing there for the whole fight.
Yeah, everyone's in a cockpit, and you know, I kind of appreciate the idea that the Death Star is an ancient thing, and it probably doesn't have a cockpit. You know, like, that's kind of
sure,
neat.
Right?
But like, yeah, like no one thinks to try and shoot at Prozen. There isn't like a moment where they shoot at Prozen and the Death Star is so fast it blocks it or something.
Or there's like a shield or something
instead,
so it doesn't get hit.
Instead,
no,
it's just,
no one bothers.
No one thinks about it. And the only answer I can think of as to why is because it'd be too violent for a kid's show, which,
sure, yeah,
you know, really makes me wonder why the writers didn't be like, well, let's just put him in a cockpit. Like,
or something, yeah.
I feel like a cockpit would have worked. Prozen also, like... Prozen throwing in at the last minute, just like, also, I killed your dad.
It's stupid.
The Van is so stupid. Like, they just met. He immediately somehow knows Van is like Van Flyheight, which don't forget that name.
Yeah, in fairness, they did meet like a couple episodes before, and Prozen seems like the kind of person who would know who his opponent is, but that said, this is a stupid reveal because
it's not as if a fucking Van was on the fence on Prozen. Like, like, you don't need to piss off Van more. He's already going to fight you.
Right.
Everyone's trying to kill you. And he's just like, guess what? I killed your dad.
Yeah. And it's not like it. I mean, really, the thing about it to me that makes it so ridiculous is that Van's dad dying has not been his motivation in the show pretty much at all.
No, not at all.
And it hasn't really even been referred to since like the first handful of episodes.
Nor was it
like
treated as a, it was barely even referred to then. And nor was it treated
It's not treated as a serious like character,
nor as a mystery
aspect or anything.
It's not a mystery,
just,
you know, like,
exactly.
Who killed him? Oh, what happened to my dad?
They're not trying to find out at any point. So yeah, Prozen's just like, oh, by the way, I killed your dad. It's like,
oh, what?
Well, okay, you're an asshole, I guess, but like, why is this a thing?
What if Darth Vader, when they're freezing Han and Carbonite, was like, by the way, I killed your dad. I guess that would be pretty similar to the reveal later on in that movie. But
yeah, except that whole thing is like something that's built to throughout the movies up to that point.
Sure,
it's like,
sort of.
You know, I mean, not necessarily that Luke Skywalker is like searching for his dad or whatever, but you know, Obi-Wan tells him like, yes, this villain killed your dad. He killed him in the first movie.
Right.
Like, that's part of the motivation for Luke in the first movie. So the twist that, no, I am your dad is, you know, and that's how he says
it
too, by the way.
Yeah. Yep. I am your dad.
Is significant. Like, it's part of what's happened through the movie up to this point. It's not just like this throwout bullshit.
What if Prozen said he was Van's father? That would have been like at least slightly more interesting. Pretty stupid, but slight. Like, it'd be at least give Van a moment of like, oh God, what did I do? Okay. Nah.
Yeah, you know what? That would have actually been better. Like, you're right. Absolutely.
As completely played as that would be, too. Also,
it would have been a total ripoff of Star Wars, but it would have made more sense than, like, by the way, I killed your dad. Well, all right. Yeah, fuck you, dick.
Also,
like, come on.
They that fucking fake-ass Jurassic Park theme that they play in the beginning of the episodes, like when they're explaining the Zoids premise.
That comes in this
episode in like a climactic moment, and it's so distracting because it is very clearly just curbed from the Jurassic Park theme.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, and it's like bad. It's not very good, and it's just like so off-putting. One thing I did like about this episode, I like the very end where it's like Van and Fiona duck out of the ceremony to hit the open road.
That's kind
of
cool.
I thought that, and I thought that was like so perfectly fitting. Like, oh yeah, just them on the open road and their big ass Zoid just running. Yeah, that's where they go. What was your least favorite episode?
Well, before I get to that, I just want to say, like, I feel like we're harping a lot on the like ludicrousness of Prozen revealing that he killed Van's dad, and also this is the episode where Irvine pilots the Gojalis, I believe.
Oh, that's right.
And both of those things, like, I don't know how to make it clearer than to say that we've been watching this show for like over a month now, and when that happened, both of those things, it was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, why does this matter?
Just kind of exasperating to even deal with
this
it.
This has not been an ongoing thread of the plot line. It is just like a thing that's referenced in an episode. And then they're like, well, I guess we got to tie up the loose ends of stuff that has barely factored into anything through this whole show.
Plus, like, we know there's a second season with a time skip of like 2 years.
Sure.
Like, I figured maybe the Gojalis thing will get resolved then in a way that makes sense. No, you have to shove it in here at the last minute. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, the thing, I think really what it comes down to is just that both of these resolutions, if they hadn't been in the episode, it would have felt just as complete. Like,
yeah.
They have no bearing on it. So,
well, I think it in fact makes it just a little, just a little bit
feel
much.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that said, my least favorite episode was episode 29. This is the episode where we find out that Viola and Rosso are still alive. And the main thrust of this episode is that Van thinks that they should take a path that goes by an old Imperial base because it's faster. And Irvine's like, no, that's stupid. We should take the longer route because it's safer. So instead of making a decision, they decide to split up and race to where they're going. Except the rule is that they can't run, and they explicitly state this, and it's very strange.
Because the lager's faster, so, man.
Yeah, right. So they're just walking along this road. Rudolph, by the way, tags along with Van. And meanwhile, we find out that the Imperial base has been restocked with new black Redlers, which are more powerful. And there's a shitload of them. And this is where Ponytail Guy is introduced. So the thing about this episode that I think is stupid is, A, the whole premise is kind of silly.
Yeah.
And it's made even sillier by the fact that when I heard it skirts by the base, I was like, okay, so they're going to be like, they can see it, but they're still far.
Yeah.
Nope. They literally walk right past the runway. Like, also, like, why do they need a runway? They're VTOL, but whatever. So they walk right past the runway. So it's ridiculous. This is also the point where it's like, oh, I guess Prozen just has dudes everywhere.
Yeah,
and
right.
Everyone is willing to be, like, Schubaltz at one point is here for some reason. And he's like, holy shit, that's the Emperor. Like, stop firing at this Zoid. Where Ponytail's like, nope, that's definitely an imposter. And everyone just goes along with it. Like,
all of the
other soldiers, none of them are like, hold on, Schubaltz might be right. They're like, yep, gotta hold this guy at gunpoint.
Yeah, we're all a part of this conspiracy now.
Yeah, or they're just idiots
who
are taking the commands of a guy that I think is a lesser ranking officer, frankly. Like, Schubaltz seems to be, his costume is certainly more elaborate.
Yeah,
but
right.
Whatever. Or uniform, I guess. It's not really a costume. But so there's that. And then finally, like, it's a minor point. I do appreciate seeing that Rosso and Viola are still around, because I was disappointed with how quickly they were killed off after becoming like nominal heroes. However, it strikes me as what I will call latter day Game of Thrones, which is, if you didn't see this character die, they're not dead.
Yeah.
even though this seems to go against the ethos of the show.
Yeah,
and
right.
Maybe this is more me bitching about Game of Thrones bringing back the Hound, who I like. Everyone likes the Hound. But, like, Game of Thrones is also a show that killed off characters all the time, and having one just not actually be dead seems like a real fucking cheap move.
Yeah.
And this reminded me of that. And I don't know, it's like, come on, just, if you're gonna have a super dramatic death scene of these two fucking characters where they, like, pledge their love for each other, basically, and are like, oh, it sure would have been nice if we could have visited your hometown, but I guess we can't because we're gonna die. Fucking don't bring them back.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Leave them dead.
Yeah, for a moment, too, I thought they were just going to, like, come back in and then sacrifice themselves again.
yeah, which, fortunately, they don't, but...
But still,
and
like,
also,
geez.
To be fair, despite the fact that they're both wearing masks, and the show plays it pretty straight with the audience, that they're like, who are they?
Yeah.
No one is fooled. Like, eventually, at one point, Rudolph's like, oh, I'm so happy you guys are still alive.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you that because you're in disguise, clearly. And I appreciate
that. Yeah, I thought that,
that
was, like, good. Because, yeah, at some point, you just got to be like, okay, this is a little insulting. Like, really, really, we're not supposed to fucking pick up that these guys are the same.
Yeah. I mean, it's not to go back to the well for the millionth time, but it's like Sailor Moon. It's like, come on, we know who these fucking characters are. Everyone should know. So we're going to go to our break. When we get back, we're going to talk about what we thought about this block, what we thought about Zoids season one overall, and then talk about where we're going to be watching next.
You're starting to annoy me, Shadow. I will destroy the fortress, but on my terms, not because you want me to.
Zoids will return in a moment. Hey there, everyone. This is Michael jumping in during the break. There may be some rain sounds in the background because the apocalypse is on us and it's raining in Los Angeles. So please excuse that. But as usual, I'm here to deliver some acknowledgments. Our opening and closing music is, as always, Vapor Diving. And the music for the bumpers is Monkeys. Both of these tracks are by Anitek. That is A-N-I-T-E-K. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud. Rights were secured through Jamendo. Our next full episode will release December 11th, and tune in next week for a coverage of the movie Heavy Metal. As always, you can submit a topic or show suggestion for our minisodes via DM on facebook.com/HPPod, Twitter @HPPod, or you can email us at hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com. And now, back to Zoids. All right, we're back. Peter, what did you think about this block?
Overall, well, so this block I enjoyed, you know, just kind of wrapping things up. I don't know if I liked it quite as much as the second block, because, you know, there's a bit less Raven, and really...
That's true. Raven is really missing from this block.
It's, you know, we get to the culmination of our plot. There's some good episodes in here too. I thought the I liked Irvine's episode where he opens up about his sister dying. Like, it's kind of cheeseball, but I think he performs it well because I have a big crush on Mark Gatha because he's Domon.
Yeah, sure. Oh my god, okay, we have not mentioned this in three episodes of this podcast. We keep missing it. I have to say it.
Yeah,
Irvine's costume, he looks like a girl from the 80s who, like, just got home from a wild party.
Yeah,
he has
does.
The weirdest costume with, like, an off-the-shoulder, like, strap. I don't know. Looks like he's like a messy, drunk 80s girl.
Yes, he does. Yeah, his outfit is amazing.
And he has, like, a headband, too. Like, it's perfect.
But he also has, like, too many belts, you know, at classic anime. To the point where the title card... hesitate to point this one out, but yeah, the title card.
No, the title card. It looks like he has a huge dick, and I don't know why.
It's because
I can't
the shadows.
Figure out why it is.
It's like the shadows on his belts are like covering his groin, and if you look at it the right way, it looks like he has like a huge bulge, and it's like, wait a minute.
it's really strange.
It's never noticeable during the show, only on the like the card that ends the opening theme that shows all the characters. Like that's what you want to see. So yeah,
yeah. So I had to point that out because yeah. I realized we keep saying like we need to point this out. It's funny,
yeah, and then we forget,
and we keep fucking forgetting. And So anyway, sorry.
I enjoyed this block well enough. I think it was better than the first block for sure. You know, I acknowledged its existence, so that's something.
It didn't immediately slide off your brain.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, and there's I feel like there's some character development at some level. Yeah, and like the
I think that there's been character development in the show, and like there's this kind of neat part where like Rudolph is piloting a Zoid, and he's Van taught me how to do this.
Yeah,
it's like, that's cool.
And you know, I'm glad that we finally shook off those fucking assassin characters. Like,
oh my god,
they didn't
come
back like we thought they might.
Yeah, no, they appear, the weird bald guy with the long tufts of hair coming out of his temples appears once to give the signet ring to Prozen and then disappears, thankfully.
And Stinger,
but he is replaced.
Stinger, a.k.a. the fisherman, appears too, but only in like one shot to drown his sorrows.
Oh, yeah, and then like tip off two other mercenaries about the existence of Van and the gang, and they explain their amazing ultimate technique, which is the heaven and hell technique.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Where, as one of them says, and I quote, "He comes down from heaven and I come up from hell."
I love, this is our heaven and hell technique. Like, then they explain it, like,
as
while
though
doing
it needs explanation.
Yeah. Like,
and also
great,
they say hell, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, right.
But I thought this block was okay. I think I'll agree with you in that I didn't think it was as good as the second block. The whole signet ring thing continued to baffle me, frankly.
Yeah.
Like, there is a point where Prozen has the signet ring and he's like, "This is proof that Rudolph was assassinated by the Republic." And everyone's like, "Oh, I guess that makes sense."
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? It's like a fucking, like, these ministers are like cats and this ring is a laser pointer and he can just point it wherever he wants, and they're just like, "Ooh."
And they really try to have it both ways all the time, where it's like, oh, also we have to be careful about where Rudolph goes because he's the emperor and people will see him. But it's like,
in the very first episode where they're like, "Hey, this is the emperor, everybody," no one fucking buys it.
Yeah, yeah, and he doesn't have a signet ring, so he can't be the emperor.
Yeah,
like,
clearly he does. Yeah, again, he doesn't have the Stallone signet, so how could he possibly be the real Sylvester Stallone or Frank Stallone?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's weird. As I said before, I think that Prozen's conspiracy goes a little too far. I appreciate that moment of Shoebolts being there and being like, "Holy shit, that's actually the emperor." But it's silly to me that, I don't know. I just don't like that Prozen has conspirators everywhere, apparently.
Yeah.
I feel like his Machiavellianism should be concentrated to like the top of the commands, and the lower ranked people should be less informed and, you know, easily controlled, whatever. Also, Prozen just becoming a raving lunatic at the end is stupid. Like, this is a chess master character who at the end is just standing on a Zoid blowing up his own capital city.
Yeah, right.
Being but, like, "Yeah, kill everything."
Dude, he's possessed by the Death Sword.
Ugh, whatever.
Yeah, it's piloting him. Hey, are you playing the game, Prozen, or is the game playing you?
But in general, like, this is a tropey thing that's fine usually, because it's like the villain backed into a corner and you see that they're just kind of like out of options and out of schemes.
In this case, like,
but
he's in the
case,
ideal scenario for his scheme.
Exactly.
And completely loses it.
Yeah. And again, blows up his own capital city while ranting about how he's all powerful. I feel like some of the episodes in the middle drag a little bit just because they feel sort of disconnected from the overarching plot, especially as we're coming to the end of the show. Like, you know, I feel like I didn't really need to learn about Irvine's sister at this mm-hmm. point. It doesn't really add a lot to the character for me.
And it doesn't really have any, it's not really relevant at all.
Anything. Yeah, yeah, right. But, you know, all those nitpicks aside, I did enjoy this block, generally speaking. I thought the final fight, as I said earlier, between Raven and Van was actually quite cool.
Yeah.
In a way that almost nothing in this show really is. So that was a big highlight. And also Raven, you know, despite the fact that he's not in it as much, he has some serious, amazing lines of dialogue.
Yeah, amazing. Which kid dipshittery, like.
Yeah, which I will definitely be putting into the bumpers. Oh, because there is one in particular that I love so much.
Nice.
All right, so moving on, what do we think about the first season of Zoids overall, Peter?
I quite liked it, which is, it's kind of strange to me, because it's like, it's one of those shows that seems to be greater than the sum of its parts. Like, okay, when I think back on it, it's like, well, okay, what do I like about it? Well, the combat kind of sucks. I don't really care for, like, the robot design or the character design. I don't know. Like, I kind of like the cast. I think they're just kind of fun, like, getting these different personalities together.
That.
Yeah, you get, like, you know, the bad boy Irvine, and, you know, Moonbae, who's just, like, such an opportunist.
Yeah, no, Moonbae's opportunism definitely becomes, like, a pretty funny running gag.
It's great.
There's
Fiona,
there's
who's,
a scene,
like,
in...
super innocent because she doesn't remember anything, which also becomes really funny. Like,
yeah, a thing that, like, a trope that I'm not a big fan of is the, like, you know, the girl who's comes out of a pod and is just doesn't know anything. She's so naive, mm-hmm. but she's so pure because of it.
Yeah,
like, that's something I don't like very much, but I do appreciate it when they play it for laughs.
Yeah.
Like the aforementioned, like, she just repeats the same fucking line over and over as though she has no creativity whatsoever. I like the cast generally too, actually. I think they're fun,
and, you know, I quite like the voice acting.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, overall, I think it's quite good. It makes me, like, I just want to, like, look into all the fucking Blue Water shit. The Blue Water Productions, which is...
You just want more dough.
I know, dude. It's a company... The Blue Water Productions, the company who did the localization or the voice acting for this and for G Gundam, and also Better Man.
But...
Yeah, as we said in the past. But
and Better Man.
It's
but
like, for some
still.
Reason, I'm just like, I'm going to make a Blue Water podcast. Or just watch all that shit for some reason.
Yeah. I think, like, my overall thought on this so far is, and obviously there's another season, so this is still sort of preliminary, but for the first season, I feel like this is a fairly charming show, but like a pretty flawed one also. I don't think it's particularly good, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it has its moments. It's fun to watch.
Good for kids too, you know.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of stupid stuff. I think the character interaction stuff is generally where the show actually shines, and, like, outside of that, there's a lot of weird shit that I don't like very much. But I guess we should do our recommendations. What do you think, Peter? Is this a revisit or best left in the past?
I think it's a solid revisit. If you've seen Zoids in the past, you got fond memories of it. I think you'll have a decent time coming back. I mean, I'm sure the graphics are not going to hold up as much, but they are also...
Yeah, I mean...
They also, you know what, they aren't bad, though. Like,
no, like, the only problem with the CG that I have, honestly, is just how shitty, like, the fights are choreographed.
Yeah, and, like the movement animation of the CG is sometimes a little stiff looking, too, but it's
really
not
but
that bad.
But they're fucking giant robots. Yeah. Like, it should be a little stiff.
It's, this isn't reboot, you know, like...
Yeah, right. It looks surprisingly good. I think it holds up weirdly well,
and they actually do a quite a decent job blending in the 3D with the 2D stuff too, where, like, smoke will be 2D when they get blasted, and, like, bits of 3D armor will fall off too, so that's actually kind of a tough thing to balance, and I think they did a great job in that regard. And so, you know, if you're definitely if you had the toys or saw the show as a kid like I did, I think it's a worthwhile rewatch, you know. Grab a little popcorn, maybe skip around some episodes. A little rough in the beginning.
Yeah, as usual, I'm going to be a bit harsher, but that's partly because I don't have at least as much nostalgic attachment to this show, because I don't think I watched Chaotic Century mm-hmm. or the first season really at all.
Yeah.
I feel like this is, I agree that it's a revisit. I think it's low on the revisit, like, towards Best Left in the Past, though, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I think that this is a show that it fits into revisit because it is not going to tarnish your memory of it, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think if you liked Zoids and you watch this, you're going to be like, wow, this was shit. I was an idiot for liking right. this, unlike certain shows that we've watched. But at the same time, it's not something I'm like, yeah, if you liked Zoids as a kid, you have to watch it again. Like, it's, you know, it's great. It's really going to hold up. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's like the classic, like, show that you watch if you're like, I don't know, waiting for something and you're like, oh, you know, I have a half hour to kill. I could put on some Zoids.
Yeah.
Like it's that kind of show. It's not something you need to run out and see, but it's also not something that's going to like make you upset.
It's probably a good show for our,
just kind of there.
It's probably a good show for our friend Josh to put on very loudly while he falls asleep.
and then is like, what are you talking about, dude?
It's not loud. What? Oh, yeah,
anyway.
So the all
right. So the bet, you won.
Yeah.
There were exactly three instances where the music came in.
Yeah, the old
as I was
happy guitar music, but doesn't fit.
Yeah, as I predicted, the final episode had it, mm-hmm. but unfortunately, there was like one other instance where I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
So you won, which means you get to choose the next big thing that we watch. So what's that going to be?
It's, you know what? I had a couple options I was balancing. It's like, maybe we'll go Cardcaptors. I've been watching a lot of 4Kids shit lately for some reason and see something where they fucked up. But you know what? I think I'm going to stick with some tradition, and we're going to start the new year off with Dragon Ball Z. Finishing up that fucking Cell Saga.
Yep, the show that I was referencing earlier.
Yes, the
you
best.
Feel like an idiot for having liked it.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it is that bad. I think the show is that bad, but I like the franchise so much that it's like,
yeah, right.
It still,
that's true.
It still
that's
just
true.
Makes me happy watching some parts of it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, Dragon Ball Super is straight up great.
Yeah, yeah. But Kai is probably decent too. But like, good God, watching the old.
Yeah, it's as we've so said hard. Many times, it's insufferable. Yep. We will say it again for several
yes, we
episodes
will. Get
as we watch
it.
The Cell Saga. I can't wait. So we will be watching that in a little bit. We have a couple of episodes before that, though. Next week, we're going to be watching the movie Heavy Metal,
yeah.
which is an animated movie based on like a series of magazines from the 80s that is nutso.
Yeah.
And that's going to be our minisode. Following that, we're going to watch a grab bag of Star Blazers, the classic space battleship Yamato, one of the early English dubbed things to be made.
Yeah, one of the earliest
so it's super different
localizations. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, and you know, in a little bit, before we get to Dragon Ball Z, we're going to be doing our holiday special, which we're not going to reveal what it is right now, but prepare for something legendarily bad.
Yeah, some legendarily bad live action fucking trash.
That is going to be
something.
It's
going to hurt.
So yeah, get ready for that. As usual, at the end of the year, we have kind of a whole palette of goodies to pick from. But until we get to all that garbage, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us next week for Heavy Metal. Thank you so much for listening. If you want more of our content, why not follow us at facebook.com/HBpod and Twitter @HBpod. where we post all of our episodes as well as additional content related to what we've been watching. This is also a great way to get in contact with us if you're so inclined. Subscribing on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcasting app you happen to use is also a surefire way to stay up to date. And while you're there, consider leaving us a review. Also, why not tell a friend if you enjoy this show? We would appreciate it. Seriously, we would appreciate it. I don't know why that sounded so dishonest from me. We would actually really appreciate that. Tell a friend. Tell 100 friends. 100 people you love, respect, and admire. Anyway, next week we'll be covering heavy metal. See you then. He had, like, you know, set up a bunch of the, you know, bullshit, mm-hmm. like
dashboard shit,
dashboard garbage, and like something ended up getting set wrong, or I don't remember the exact circumstances, but basically there was something that was like slightly messed up, and Marty was like, "You must have bumped it by accident or something," and. And I just remember Jim being like, "Oh yeah, big clumsy Jim just lumbering around inside the car." And he like
he just did
like this motion of like waving his arms around. And that's basically what I felt like when I realized that I bumped my mic repeatedly this episode. It's like, yep, I'm just waving my arms around like a fucking lumbering fool.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Ugh.